gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad that you tuned in. Thank you for spending your time with us. I know that you could be doing other things, and maybe you are listening to us. If you're listening via Global Star Radio Network or BTR, Blog Talk Radio, or if you're watching us, you can watch us on YouTube Live, our official YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our channel. That does elevate us and provides us a level of insulation. One more thing I'd like everyone to do, in addition to subscribing to our YouTube channel. You ready? Folks, please do this. Go to HagmanReport.com. Look for the old style radio. There are the show notes for the week. Well, it's right there on near the top. You can see it. It's an old style radio. The radio changes every week because we do change the dials, and we change the guests, of course. And but John Robertson, our program director producer, has put a lot of work into that. Check that all of the time, all right? Because there you will find out what we're talking about. And our guest coming up here is William Ramsey. He's the purveyor of the very, very popular website, Occult Investigations, William Ramsey Investigations, Occult Investigations. Okay, but that's linked off of HagmanReport.com. He's also the documentary filmmaker behind a highly trafficked YouTube channel, William Ramsey Investigates, where his films deal with everything from, that's right, the scandal known as Pizzagate, to Satanic Hollywood. And his publications include Children of the Beast and Abomination. He's been on before. He's a very, very talented, very, very interesting guest, very, just a prolific author, great speaker, and he's a talented investigator, I'll tell you that. Before we get to Mr. Ramsey, I just want to mention that Texas Ready. Folks, we need to, I'm going to thank everyone for supporting our advertisers, because by supporting our advertisers, you support our program. But Texas Ready, they have seed banks, the best seed banks in the world. They're the best for good reason. They contain the best regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds. You know, they're certified. Most seed banks don't go to that expense, but they, Texas Ready, believes you're worth it. And you are. We are together. The germination rate on their seeds is just absolutely outstanding. And you know, if you don't know how to garden, they have several excellent reference books that help you grow plenty of nutrient-dense food, start plants from seedlings, save seeds correctly. I mean, it gives you the entire instructions on everything seeds.
I have to bring that book in. I have it at home. It also teaches you what crops to plant next to each other to better maximize the yield on your gardens, which is something I never thought about before getting into gardening, but you can grow a lot more plants if you learn exactly what other plants you should are good to plant them next to, or if they need to be planted alone. That's Texas Ready, texasready.com.net. Sorry about that. All right, our guest this hour is William Ramsey. He's been a guest on in the past. Occult Investigations is his website. Mr. Ramsey, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Joe and Doug, thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you. So, you know, one of the things out of the gate, I want to ask you about kind of an update on the Pedogate scandal, but we can go anywhere you want to go. But I just, I've been collecting information on this since the last time we had referenced this, and man, I'm seeing some horrific things worldwide, reaching into places that people probably would never believe. And by the way, folks, Awakened to the Shaken, May 5th and 6th, Gurnee, Illinois, Pastor Paul Begley, paulbegleyprophecy.com. Sign up for that. We're giving a presentation on just this topic, along with Russ Dizdar. But Mr. Ramsey, what's the latest with, if you care to share about
Pedagogy? Well, I mean, as far as, Yeah, I just think that the arrests are taking place. There's been 1,500 arrests in the last, you know, since Trump was inaugurated. So I think that something is taking place in the government where these arrests are allowed to take place. But I do think that, you know, I'm hoping that some of the larger operators, you know, will come under the scrutiny of the federal legal infrastructure, you know, because I think that there's definitely enough information for a really solid investigation to take place in some of these people like Podesta or Alifantis. And I think it's unfortunate for these people to use, I think what from what I've seen in the last couple months, the resources of Media Matters and Correct the Record are being used to kind of intimidate and undercut people who are investigating Pedigate. So I think that, you know, that's an unfortunate event. And but I do think that the investigation people are still, there's still traction. My understanding is that there will be two or three meetings in D.C. close to or nearby Comet Ping Pong to protest or, you know, bring attention to the whole Pedigate conspiracy. So, you know, some of the updates that I know of are that Lynn DeForester Rothschild sent a tweet that basically chided and upbraided or insulted John Podesta and called him a loser. And I thought that that was interesting because she is in the Instagram pictures of James Alifantis. She's standing behind James Alifantis' former boyfriend, David Brock. So the fact that she seems to have been turning on Podesta is, I think, a positive event as far as, you know, them kind of not towing the line together. So it seems like she's kind of cutting and making her taking a distance from Podesta. Maybe she has more.
Okay, let me get this straight. Linda Rothschild is calling Podesta, or called Podesta a loser, right?
Is that what in the context of the election that she lost, he lost election. But I see, I take that as a distraction. She's not calling him out for, you know, other things that they, there's even relations between the two of them, in the periphery of different friends and events. So they're a lot closer than it appears, and I'd believe that was just maybe her way of venting some frustration at Podesta for the election. But they did not get into, obviously, she didn't call him out for...
Well, man, but Mr. Ramsey, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's pretty strong language, because if I'm friends with somebody, well, let's say, Mr. Ramsey, you and I were you know, tweeting. Is that lawful? Right. Anyway, let's say, and I called you a loser, man. I don't think you'd take too kindly to that, right?
I don't think I would. I mean, especially if we were, you know, in the same circles, and our friends were similar, and we were interested in the same issues, and then you called me that. I think that, you know, I'd be dejected. I also think that that would be something that would, you know, rend a relationship. So I think that there, especially Rothschild, who is the money behind a lot of these kind of PR campaigns and probably a major benefactor to the HRC campaign, she turns on, you know, Podesta. I think that that's incredible. And she said, you ran an arrogant and out of touch campaign. You have destroyed a great family and are a loser. Period. So, strong work.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Well, that kind of makes me chuckle a little bit because, I don't know. Boy, you can destroy a relationship, even a perverse one, in under 140 characters. That's pretty cool. All right. Anyway.
I mean, and the thing, like Twitter, you know, Trump is using Twitter to his advantage and getting words out in, you know, very terse terms. And I think that this is something that Lindy Rothschild did. She wanted to, you know, make a thing. And that tweet was shared and spread around, so kind of everybody knows it. I'm sure within the Democratic, you know, party, everybody's aware of her opinion. So I think that that's very telling for her to say that publicly.
Yeah, I do too. Well, you know what? I'm about ready to get in a pickup truck, grab some good old boys, get some pitchforks and torches, and head down to D.C. That's my mentality, okay? Obviously, then, folks, don't send me emails, okay, about that. I'm just saying. I'm just ready. Wow. the things that are taking place here, it's just, you know, I almost feel like saying I'm getting too old for this stuff. I can't believe some of the stuff I'm seeing take place, and then all of the news here this past week. It's just been the past 48 hours, 72 hours. It's crazy. But where do you want to start?
Well, something that I've been following closely, and something that happened in your neck of the woods in Pennsylvania yesterday, it's incredible timing that I'm on your show tonight, is that the body of Dakota James was found in the Ohio River. He was a young man. He was a Duquesne graduate student who had disappeared on January 25th. And he finally was, there was an incredible amount of searching looking for Dakota James. There were search parties. His family was heavily involved. They were very active on media of all different types. And tragically, he was found in water. But not only is the loss of his life a tragedy, I do think myself and other researchers for some time have seen that this is a pattern where young men go out drinking, they get kicked out of a bar, and they disappear for a while, and then they're found in water. And some people have referred to it as the smiley face killers. It goes all the way back to the early 90s where this type of tragedy is happening. And I've been following it closely, and it's just incredible that he was found yesterday. And there's another young man who is missing in Pennsylvania who disappeared under strange circumstances. His name is Brad Verrett, and hopefully he makes it home safely, but he's been missing since February 7th. So
Mr. Ramsey, just so people know, Dakota James, 23 years old, he's from the Pittsburgh area, Robinson Township. He was going to Duquesne University, I believe. He was a student there, disappeared, was found Monday morning in the Ohio River. Wow. Okay, and then we have another one. You said, and go ahead. I just want to make sure people knew about Dakota.
Sure, I'm sorry, but yeah, the other one, they're both kind of similar circumstances, in a bar, on their phone, and then walk out and kind of disappear. Dakota James was with friends. He was last seen with his phone, possibly on kind of a meetup kind of app, and the same thing. One of the interesting things about Verrett is they have a CCTV video of him walking right by his car, just moving out into somewhere, and then he disappeared right out of there, so it's pretty shocking. And he was from Reading, kind of northwest of Philadelphia. So, you know, you want to keep him in your prayers. Hopefully his family will be able to find him. But
what do you make of this? There's a pattern here. And I think there is. I think there's a distinct pattern to this. What do you make of it? What kind of pattern? I mean, what?
My conclusion is that young men are being targeted. They're being drugged. They're being followed, abducted, and then held for a time and murdered. And I think it's been happening for 25 years at least. And it's not just happening in the United States. It's happening in the UK. I found many cases recently. Particularly, there were two that just happened. A guy by the name of Lewis Ball and Deacon Wilkins. It happened in Bristol in southwestern UK. And something like this actually happened at a vacation spot in Thailand, of all places, where a man thought he was drugged and then was found in water last month. So I think that there is, and I believe that it involves kind of, it's in a gay environment often, or there's something like that. Most of the men who are targeted, they're never overweight. They're never overly stocky. They have a kind of standard body type. Very, you know, they're all, you know, younger guys who are healthy. So I think that that's definitely a consistency among these victims that stretch back, like I said, 20, 25 years. There's about 50 to 100 of them. One of the original investigators, there were a guy by the name of Jeff Gannon. He was a New York City policeman, and then a university professor by the name of Gilbertson from the Midwest were two people who wrote a book called Case Studies in Drowning Forensics that really went in detail. They did a fantastic job, very scholarly job, on these cases that had happened. And they noticed the commonality as well. And there's also been some journalists that have worked on that as well.
I do want to say that, you know, placing a body in water or disposing of a body in water is usually a forensic countermeasure, generally, okay, just as an FYI for people, or from an investigative standpoint. So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. I think that that's happened in other cases. Some people have disposed bodies. If you look at the Atlanta child killings, those were all disposed in bodies to erase evidence. Forensics can have a hard time concluding certain things if a body is placed in water. And I believe that the perpetrators of these crimes knows that. I think that they're intentionally placing them in the water to make it also the public perceive, well, what happens in water as an accident. Or an accidental drowning. In Dakota James's case, he was found 40 days after he disappeared. And I haven't heard anything about the autopsy information, but typically in a body of water that hasn't ever been frozen over, a deceased person will come to the surface at the latest date, 20 days. So there's some time that's not accounted for in the disappearance and death of Dakota James.
Do we have any idea with respect to Dakota James? And I know that we don't necessarily want to focus our time on this alone, but decomposition of the body, because you had mentioned that you felt that he was held for a time, and obviously the state of the body upon discovery, given a bunch of other factors, the water and such, but any idea state of decomp on the body?
I haven't determined that. They were able to make a determination that it was him very right on the spot early yesterday morning. So I have not been able to ascertain what the state of the body is. But if he was recently put in water, that tells you everything people need to know about his disappearance.
Yep. Indeed. Indeed it does. We're talking with William Ramsey. I'll tell you, William Ramsey is a great investigator. West Memphis 3, that's kind of, you cut your teeth on that, the West Memphis 3 case, right?
Yes, as far as true crime. Yeah. I mean, I wrote Prophet of Evil before that about Crowley, but then I kind of veered off into this kind of place that was very disturbing. Was when West Memphis 3 was also involved deceased persons in water that erased or made forensic determinations very difficult.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. Continue. Go ahead.
Yeah. The West Memphis 3 is an amazing case because the public generally, at least the time that I was researching it, believed that the three people who were actually convicted were falsely convicted, that they were convicted on bogus charges. The three were Damian Echols, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miskelly. And they were let out of jail in August of 2011. And so they're actually signed documents that said that they agreed that they confessed a first-degree murder. They're on probation for 10 years till 2021. But they were released with the help of many celebrities, many big-name celebrities, Johnny Depp, Margaret Cho, Henry Rollins, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. These guys came out and spent their money and time to help these guys get released.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah.
So I researched the case. The good news is that you can actually go back and read the case files. They're located at Callahan AK. So the entirety of the case, all the way from when the events happened in May 5th, 2003, all the way to the present, are there. And so I just, you know, put my kind of legal hat on and started reading, and I was like, this is incredible, because I'd known about Crowley, and the case files and all the investigative files show that the cult ran through the case, and they actually run through it to this day. There were references to Aleister Crowley, there were references to sacrifice, there were pictures of child sacrifice that these guys had drawn, and then I found that there were confessions made by Jesse Miskelly post-conviction. So after he was convicted in 2004, he admitted to the crime, named Baldwin and Echols. And there were also other evidence that Echols was in three different mental institutions prior to the crime. So once I looked over all that and I'd seen that the Supreme Court of Arkansas, where the crime happened in West Memphis, denied the appeal, and that the lawyers appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States, who denied certiorari. I was pretty convinced that the two juries who convicted these three guys were correct, and that they were accurately followed and tagged as perpetrators of the killing of three young boys who were 8 years old.
What a story that is. You know what, and the thing that is troublesome, aside from the killings, is these celebrities that, you know, are always ready to rush to the defense of murderers, of pedophiles, of the, you know, the moral corruption of our country. They do this, you know, they inject themselves into these situations, from politics to, exactly, it's satanic in nature. And they seem to gravitate to this sort of behavior in peoples. It's really strange. And then the cult mentality of most of the American people who are, for whatever reason, captivated by the culture of celebrity, and, you know, will basically do anything or say anything to feel that they are a part of that society.
Excellent point. I mean, I think that the culture of celebrity was a huge factor in getting these guys released. And one of the things what the celebrities did is they started to raise money for the West Memphis Three. They were able to raise something between an enormous sum, between $10 and $20 million. And that money was used to get the best lawyers in the United States and get PR people out of New York. And that further kind of steamrolled or snowballed the perception that these guys were innocent. And then more money came in, and that led to basically the attorneys put pressure on the prosecutors in Arkansas to the point where probably, in my opinion, the prosecutor kind of blinked. He didn't want to take them to court and try them again because of what could, you know, the public, you know, outrage at trying these supposedly three innocent guys. And so he just said, say that you committed the crimes and, you know, sign these papers for first degree murder, and I'll let you out on 10 years of probation, and they're out. So that's pretty remarkable.
You know, you make some very great points in your work about the West Memphis Three, and even talking about these current cases. But as it applies to the larger case of Pedogate, what I'm seeing, in addition to the satanic element, which everyone is talking about and everyone knows about, I think a lesser known fact when we talk about cases like this, and you brought this up, is the public relations aspect of this. You know, when I've seen this in criminal cases, look at the OJ case, just as one example. Lawyers tend to hire or at least consult with PR firms. And I do believe that that's kind of taking place with respect to the Pizzagate, Pedigate crimes that have been taking place. There is a PR aspect to this that people cannot believe or don't realize exists, that the perception is being managed, and it's being managed at professional levels.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think that if you kind of look at David Brock, he was already kind of managing Hillary Clinton's campaign, using money from wealthy donors to, you know, go to every place on the internet, really, chat rooms, message boards, anywhere where people make comments on YouTube, and really counteract or contradict any negative thing said about Hillary. And I think that same event or that same program is being put into place as far as Pedogate. You know, so all these people are getting intimidated. You know, I felt the heat from the West Memphis 3 PR firm. They contradicted everything I said. It was incredible, really, because I had made one comment really late at night, at like midnight, and I woke up the next morning very early, and somebody had already responded to my comment. So I was like, well, that sounds like a PR firm making that. And all kinds of people came out of the woodwork to contradict my work, attack my work, go on to Amazon and give me one stars. I mean, it was incredible. So I think that is the new kind of a program in all these cases. If people have the resources, the money, they will hire skilled PR firms to manipulate the public. And that was really...
I want to ask you about that. Yeah, are you so, yeah, and yeah, and I've seen this, and you, we together, you, me, everyone listening to this, especially if you've got a dog in the fight, or if you've got a publication, a book, a DVD, whatever you might have, you're exposing the evils. You are going to feel heat like you've never felt before, especially from social networking. And I was just curious. We got about less than a minute before the bottom of the hour, but are you feeling that?
Well, during the West Memphis 3, it was very intense. So intense that I like shut down my blog and shut down my website and just walked away. So as far as the Pizzagate is concerned, I haven't been as active, but I definitely have seen that I've had to kind of swat away some wasps that have come to my YouTube channel, but it hasn't been as bad for me, but I've seen it with other people. There are other commentators who have taken serious heat, have been threatened with lawsuits, have been threatened actually by Alephantis himself. I don't know if you know about some of those stories, but Alephantis got on some Facebook chats and insulted people. So it's definitely there. I mean, I think that these guys are really tough too, because they won't just try to insult you on social media. They will go after your job and really try to disclose
what you're doing.
Yeah, so that is really nasty. Very, very nasty.
They'll have, you know, Twitter shut down your account and Facebook censor your post, and they are so buddy-buddy with the tech giants in this country that they have that kind of reach. Folks, we're talking with William Ramsey. His website, occultinvestigations.com. He will be with us through the next segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with William Ramsey right after the break.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you could possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely. Eric said,
it's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free. Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means You can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com, that's our website, HagmanandHagman.com for the show. Broadcast on three venues, of course, Blog Talk Radio, BTR, Global Star Satellite Radio. There you can, actually, you can go to Hagman Report or Hagman and Hagman and find our archives via Global Star or BTR. And, of course, YouTube Live as well, YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as find every day or every week, every day, check our website, HagmanReport.com. And every week, and if not every day, look at, find the radio, the old-fashioned radio, old-time radio, and check out the guests for the day, the week. John, our program director, John Robertson, does a tremendous job putting it all out there. Our guest is William Ramsey. He's the author of Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. I can't recommend, I don't think I could, I mean, I could have, that's an amazing work. He also produced, by the way, and directed two documentaries called Hollywood and Prophet of Evil. Okay, so he's a very talented investigator. I cannot recommend his work enough. I we're so lucky and fortunate to have him, as well as our guest. Before we get back to Mr. Ramsey, MinutemanStove.com. If you haven't gone there, go to MinutemanStove.com and get yourself a rocket stove. You're gonna need it. I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna need it. When the lights go out and you don't have anything to cook with, that's right, the kitchen stove is off or not working, not functional, or you don't have any more propane in the barbecue or whatever. The best device out there for cooking, whether it's camping or for emergencies, is the Minuteman rocket stove. And there are other rocket stoves out there, but Minuteman makes the best. MinutemanStove.com, that's the place to go. It's a 50 caliber ammo can. It focuses the heat where it needs to go. The outside, meanwhile, stays at a cool 200 degrees. You can pick it up with your hands and not worry about getting burnt. You'll notice when you use the proper wood, it creates virtually no smoke, and thereby alleviating any health concerns you might have, or perhaps you don't want to give away your location to others. It's self-contained, seals airtight for travel and storage. It is the only self-contained rocket stove on the market. It's a great product. We use it here at the Hagman and Hagman Studios. That's MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Mr. Ramsey, let's get back to it. Where to? Direct us. Tell us what
you're
talking about.
Well, I think that if you look at the West Memphis 3 documentaries, they're very biased. They're actually, I would say, call the term Hollywoodized. So people who saw those documentaries believe that they saw the entire case. I think that there was an agenda behind those three West Memphis 3 films. They were called Paradise Lost. And I actually think that other documentaries that have come out more recently are also biased in the sense that I think that Making a Murderer did not bring into question some of Stephen Avery's predilections or the family's, unfortunate other kind of darker stuff that they were involved in. So I do think that just because it's in the documentary, people need to just make sure that they see all the facts, because sometimes these documentaries don't have all the facts.
Man, you got that right. We see that with the JonBenet Ramsey documentaries. We see it with the O.J. Simpson documentaries. It seems like this plethora of the commercialization of murder.
Yes.
And in the West Memphis 3 case, and by the way, I did watch, prior to your initial appearance, I did watch a couple of documentaries in anticipation of that, and it's... Wow, what they do with respect to presenting the facts. You talk about biased. My goodness.
Yeah.
It is indeed biased. You're right.
they left out tons of stuff in those early documentaries. I mean, there's tons of other facts and information that talk about his mental history or anything like that. I mean, that's a key point. That was actually when they were trying to argue to not have him go to the death penalty. That was what came out. They call it Exhibit 500 in the case because there's 500 pages of information that the documentaries never covered.
Mr. Ramsey, I want to ask you a question. My dad just mentioned the JonBenet Ramsey case. And, you know, with these child abductions, sometimes we see cases that are much more high profile than other cases. But is there a reason? I mean, we have, how many kids go missing from our country every day? And sometimes the news media will focus on, you know, one of these cases much more so than others for months on end. Do you think that there's a hidden agenda behind that? Why isn't the issue of missing children why isn't it covered more widespread, and why are certain cases given all the attention in the world and the majority are left by the wayside?
That's a great question. I think that some of the cases of the child abduction that people see or that get Hollywoodized are there because there's some kind of conflict or it's kind of an ideal family where something went wrong, whereas the run-of-the-mill child abductions don't have that same kind of capacity to be shaped by Hollywood. So I would say that's one of the reasons why you see JonBenet, this kind of pretty young woman or girl or whatever, instead of somebody from another family, from a middle class or lower class family.
Well, let me ask you this, just a follow up to that. Do you believe that the media or people predetermine which of these cases, or do you think it's, as you were saying, it's based on the circumstances around the family and
Absolutely. I absolutely think they're predetermined. If the people who are the producers who are making decisions, if the case doesn't fit their bias or their agenda, I think that they'll downplay it or ignore it. Whereas if it's a case that fits in something that they want to talk, that is part of their political agenda, they'll latch onto it like a dog to a bone. So I definitely think they're predetermined. And I think not only are that, they're also some are, given more credence or credibility, even if the facts aren't there. So to just fit that agenda shape.
And we see that in the world of politics. You get one of the most recent examples was a mosque. There was a shooting in a mosque in Canada, and that got a lot of attention until, the media found out that it was a Muslim Moroccan
was
student.
It? Was it? Or was it? Wait a minute, I'm still confused.
And if it doesn't fit their narrative, the thing just disappears. And if it's something they can push to continue their narrative and their agenda, they will, go crazy with it to the point of nausea. And that's sad that, you have the politicization and the Hollywood culture coming in to determine which cases are important and which aren't.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's unfortunate. I remember the story of there was a young gay kid. I think he was from Colorado, and something really bad happened to him. And then somebody went back, and that this was like a sign of how all homosexuals are, there's homophobia. But then they heard about the guy's real story, and he was a meth dealer. And the whole killing was done over a drug deal, which they conveniently left out. You ever remember that story? What was his name? Shepherd, yes, I think that was.
Was it Shepherd? Yeah, oh, that's right. Yes.
And somebody wrote a book about it. He was actually also a homosexual, but he said that, it wasn't the story that the media shaped it to be.
Right. And exactly. And there's the media management, my goodness. And in the case of, bringing it back to the case of the pedophilia with respect to, and the satanic ritual abuse as the vehicle for the crimes against the children involved in the Pedagate/Pizzagate scandal. It's amazing. And before the break, you had mentioned too about the attacks that you got with your work on the West Memphis 3. But we're seeing across the board this mass censorship, which is just amazing to me with respect to the pedophilia that's going on, the satanic ritual crimes that are taking place that no one wants to talk about. Even Christians are boycotting, self-censoring on this topic, when in fact they should be shouting this from the rooftops, in my view, to expose the deeds of darkness by the people out there, the purveyors of these crimes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that self-censorship is probably the worst type of censorship, worse than the government censorship, because then you just let that story die, whether you're too afraid to talk about it, whether it doesn't fit into your happy-go-lucky Christian outlook, because, and I think I'm disappointed by a lot of the really high level, maybe the Joel Osteens out there that don't talk about this at all. So, I do think that, you know, the prevailing political parties or political guys who are in the media, they definitely don't want to talk about, you know, satanic ritual abuse, pedophilia, or anything like that. And I think that that is really unfortunate because it is happening. And I think that the whole pedo-gate story is just an incredibly important story because it involved so many powerful people and they're all kind of interwoven and connected. And those people refuse to shine a light on it. So I think that that is a real disservice to the country and to the people who are being abused. I'm sure there's people in that whole network who are being abused, but they never are able to come forward because nobody's going to tell their story, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
And if we can kind of switch gears here, and you just, we were just explaining that, it brought something to mind with, you know, these new, this Vault 7, the CIA, cyber spying, and cyber warfare that's been going on that, you know, we've seen stories about, we've known that, you know, they can remotely turn your phone on and listen to you through your TVs and your smart thermostats and any other device that's connected to the internet. Kind of a left field question here, Mr. Ramsey. How much of these tools do you think that these people who are involved in this satanic stuff, do you think that they have the abilities or this technology is shared with people for their to be able to pull off some of the things that they do and get around investigations and things like that? Or do you think that this is more an intelligence tool used by people inside intelligence services for the purposes, whether illegal or illegal, wiretapping?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's a subject of great concern, because if political people are using these tools for political ends, as if Trump, who's more than likely telling the truth about himself being bugged by the Obama administration, then we're in a new level of, you know, depth, really, about how our political system really functions. If people can use this stuff politically, you know, I think that it's a great concern. And I do think that these systems are, you know, I think that Trump is probably telling the truth, and Bannon is saying the same thing on his Facebook page even today, that he has all the information, he just can't disclose it because he would put people at risk. So then that means that nobody's safe. If they can bug a presidential candidate and get away with it, I think that, I mean, we're past 1984. We're in like some really crazy dystopia.
You're exactly right. And the fact that no one is safe, boy, that is true. If people really understood the what's taking place, and you're right, it's, and I'm sure you've come across this, people, in your investigations, people come to you and they can't disclose certain things, or they can't, you can't disclose what they've told you, or you can't I mean, there's a lot of, I don't want to say the word, I'll just say intrigue that yes. takes place, and people don't quite understand. I don't think people really understand how serious this is. And when somebody says, look, I can't tell you, I can't reveal the sources. I mean, people don't, sometimes people discount the information if you don't name the source. Kind of like, you know, hey, no pictures, it didn't happen. Well, come on, man. You know.
I mean, I think that, you know, you have to establish the credibility of the person and whether it's believable, I guess. But I get stuff. I'm sure you do, too. People send you information on subjects you talked about. I get people who hear me talking about the West Memphis 3 send me great information, you know, things that I missed or something like that. So I definitely have sources that I would never divulge, and but they're legit. I mean, I think that it'll be interesting to see how this at least for in the example of Trump being bugged, how that plays out over time, and whether somebody leaks something to WikiLeaks or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I said in a recent interview, I think we're really living in kind of a spy novel. All the citizens of the country, really, because you're being spied on. I mean, imagine that everything you've ever done, you're entering a state where everything you've ever done online, all of your financial transactions, possibly things that you've said in your own house if they're recording your TV, can be compiled and put in a dossier. So every 300 million Americans will have an accessible dossier that God knows, you know, what people can do. Way beyond, I mean, I remember the FBI files, how those were distributed through the Clinton administration and how big of a hubbub that was. Imagine a file that's broader than an FBI file on you, your kids, your future. I mean, it's incredible that people who aren't necessarily responsible with that information, what if they get access to that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very dangerous scenario. And we know, you know, I saw a clip of Karl Rove today saying that, oh, you know, they've never spied on an American citizen. even though we know, just in a number of cases that came right from the White House, that they have spied on American citizens. You know, I guess you could say legally, with warrants, with subpoenas, with issues coming from the Justice Department. But it's all the ability to illegally and spy on American citizens and gather their information. And I think that happens a lot more. I mean, what do you think these people at the NSA do? Edward Snowden, back in 2013, talked about how he could wiretap anybody he wanted to from his desk, from, I think he said, you to, you know, anybody he knows to the President of the United States. And that was years ago, and all this, you know, information is coming out to verify that what he said and what many other researchers have talked about is true, even to the extent that they can use technology to hack into cars to remote control them,
Michael,
to be used
Hastings
for purposes of assassinations. It is very concerning.
Michael Hastings.
What was that?
Yeah, yeah.
The death
what
of Michael
think
Hastings.
About that? I mean,
murder.
Yeah, absolutely.
The engine block got removed from the car prior to it coming to rest on the palm tree. I drive by that spot all the time, Melrose and Highland, and there's just no way. The engine block came out of the car, and the people who lived nearby said their house shook. It sounded like a bomb. No car accident has the force to really, well, to sound like a bomb, really. And there was fire there. It was an incredible event. I think that he was really rattling kind of people at the top's cage, people in the military and intelligence community, not, you know, very dangerous people with a lot of dangerous skills. So for me, looking at the Hastings thing, murder.
Absolutely. And we're talking with William Ramsey. He's the author of just fantastic works, Abomination, Devil Worship and Deception in the West Memphis Three Murders, Children of the Beast, Aleister Crowley's Shadow Over Humanity, and Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. I don't want to do this to you necessarily. What's your favorite work out of those three?
Well, that's a good question. I think that I really think that Abomination was really more the most relevant, in a sense that, you know, I'm writing a history about Crowley or people he's influenced, but I think that the whole West Memphis 3 case really was an insight not only into a criminal case, but how information can be shaped, used to manipulate people, and how kind of the instinct for people to really follow the, you know, like Joe said, the celebrity culture is to follow this kind of styly person like Johnny Depp. And for me, Abomination was really a very timely, modern book that, I mean, for me, showed that also that the occult really does influence events and people are influenced. You know, one of the things that I found out while I was studying that book was that Damien Echols is a member, or was around early 90s, of the OTO, Crowley's Secret Society. And I think that that book, even though there's no overt proofs of that, but I do believe that the release of the West Memphis is tied to secret societies and secret agreements. So for me, Abomination is, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are tattoos. There are very telling tattoos about Damien Echols that are tied to other satanic cults, particularly the back tattoo that he has. You can look it up online. That is the 7-tiered black sun tattoo. And I couldn't publish it in my book because of the copyright issues. But, they were always threatening to sue me. I can send you some of the emails that, you know, I had to, they were going to sue me for once.
That's an interesting club that we're in. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. You know, wow. Okay.
And I think that's why a lot of other people didn't investigate, is because they got intimidated, you know? And for a while, when my book first came out, it was on the Supreme Court of Arkansas's website. It just sat there for a year. Read this book. So somebody at the Supreme Court or the website thought it was a, you know, book enough to be important to put on their site.
Okay, about the West Memphis 3, because and folks, I would recommend this. Trust me, I'd recommend this book because it's relevant today. Even though the murders happened, I think, 1993, from memory?
1995.
Okay, all right. It's relevant to today. The facts are relevant to today. But let me ask this question that involves something we spoke about earlier. When you've got celebrities that are coming to the defense of killers, satanic killers, like the three perpetrators of the children, is that a result of the PR campaign, or is that part of the PR campaign? I think there is a difference there, an important distinction, perhaps.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that in the case of the West Memphis 3, the kind of pad, the way that it became influenced in the public mind is that these documentaries came out that were biased, then the celebrities got involved, and then the money got raised, and then the PR was acquired. So the documentaries and the celebrities came on board before anything. And then I think that these people, the celebrities, were sophisticated or had sophisticated friends and knew the right attorneys, top-notch attorneys and top-notch PR people to get and to pay for. So, that sophisticated PR campaign was really, I think, the lever that was put at the fulcrum and really shifted the case and to get them released was the potency of the relations. Yeah.
Interesting. And I think it's important to really understand that. And this is what we're seeing today, too. A huge PR campaign, and the public opinion is being managed. We, as citizens, if we allow ourselves, we're being programmed. We're being told what to think, how to think. And programs like this, hopefully, will break you of that spell. Well, we got about 3 minutes left of your time here. This time went so quickly. And you are a talented writer, I've got to say that. A great investigator and researcher.
Thanks.
You got the floor. Next 3 minutes. Anything you want. It's open for discussion.
Well, I just would just caution your listeners to be careful. I do believe that there are a serial killer or killers preying on young men. Just because you're a younger man doesn't mean you can't be drugged. I mean, women are very aware of the drugging problem or the roofie problem, but men can be drugged. There was actually an abduction that almost took place in Pittsburgh of a man who got away. It was like an Uber driver or something like that. So it is dangerous out there late at night. And some people have lost their lives because they let their guard down. So, and I'm following these cases a lot. And if people want to kind of see some of the researchers, they can check out a Twitter or Facebook page called Smiley Face Killers America, and kind of see that this pattern is happening over and over again. So I just want to get that warning out to your listeners and their families and friends.
And I do believe, and I think you make the case for this in your work, but I believe this to be true. I think we're seeing a rise in the satanic killings that are taking place. I think that there's obviously thrill killings or spree killings for thrill, but the satanic component here that you write about, the Aleister Crowley background backdrop, I believe it's becoming more and more pervasive in today's criminal world. I really do. And
well, it's an excellent point, because they had those satanic killings of the MS-13 guys down in Texas, and I do believe what's happening that Dakota James is associated with has a satanic component to it.
Wow. Okay.
I can't disclose it in totality, but I'm aware that I believe in my conclusions with all my research that something like that has happened.
Incredible. Wow. Yeah, I'm not going to... We'll leave it... I know how these things go.
Sorry. I mean, it's just that I think that there are people that are in communication with each other associated with these cases. They're not happening individually. I think that there's something under the surface, sub rosa, is happening.
Well stated. William Ramsey, thank you so much for your gift of time. Really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure when you come on. Your works are second to none in my view. Fantastic. All three, fantastic. Your multimedia presentation. Thank you. Thank you for coming on, and please keep us informed as to your findings.
Will do. Thank you very much, Doug and Joe. I really appreciate it. It's always great to talk to you.
All right, man. So it's always great to have you. Folks, that was William Ramsey. What a talented man. You know, boy, being an investigator in that realm and writing about it in that realm takes a level of talent. And, you know, I think when I wrote my book, Stained by Blood, shameless plug now, it just takes some stuff out of you. And I don't know. It's like birthing a child, I think, in some level. Although how would I know, right? Folks, stay with us. Up next, Stan Dale. You're listening to the Hagman Report. Don't forget, check the show notes. Look for the old time radio, HagmanReport.com.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.